recorded in Zoom.
Okay. Well, hello again, Memphis, and welcome to Storyboard 30. This is the show taken right out of the pages of Storyboard Memphis, the journal that brings you Memphis stories, ideas, connections, and community in one place. Different place today. Once again, we're in we're recording this in Zoom again. I am, of course, your host, Mark Fleischer, publisher of Storyboard Memphis, and your host for the next 30 minutes of this, again, special edition of Storyboard 30. My guest today, Amani Jasper. Amani is the program manager for Neighborhood Preservation, Inc. Those of you who have been devoted listeners know that Neighborhood Preservation, Inc. is one of our supporting sponsors and contributing sponsors to Storyboard. And it is my pleasure to be able to help out this year with the upcoming Neighborhood Preservation Summit. So Amani is here to talk about not only the Neighborhood Preservation Summit, but also, you know, a little bit about just the importance of the continuing work of Neighborhood Preservation, Inc., despite, you know, the pandemic and the shutdown and things that collectively the team is still doing to an attempt to address our issues of blight. So Amani Jasper, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I should say welcome to your own room.
Like, welcome to your living room. It's a whole new room.
So yeah, as I mentioned, like I said, this is, you know, I've done a few of these, and it's been fun. May 1st, upcoming is the Neighborhood Preservation Summit. So why don't we, you know, let's start out by maybe just talking about the summit itself and kind of where it came from, what it's intended to do, you know, what its purpose has been in the past, and how it's going to look on, or, you know, coming up here in the next week or so.
So the Memphis Neighborhood Preservation Summit is a biannual meeting of all the Memphis neighborhoods, community leaders, nonprofits, local governments, anyone who's interested to just come together and celebrate the accomplishments that we've had in fighting property blight, looking at what we can do next, how we're going to continue our good work, hearing about best practices in the field. It's that space we have every 18 months. We just come together and talk about what we're doing and what we need to be doing, and also acknowledging some shining stars in the fight against property blight. Now, the summit is hosted by the Blight Elimination Steering Team, which is an organization of around 30 or so different nonprofits, institutional partners, government representatives working across the city of Memphis to eliminate property blight. And the four committees of the Blight Elimination Steering Team are where the workshop content comes from. So if you're joining us on May 1st, which all of you should be, you'll be able to participate in four webinars put on by the four different committees of BEST, which are data, improving and supporting code enforcement, reclaiming reuse of vacant properties, and community engagement.
Right. And I'll show those up on screen, and we'll repeat those throughout. We'll talk about, get into some of the details of some of these sessions. But yeah, mm-hmm. Go. Yeah.
And so some of the sessions we're going to have today, just to give you a teaser of all of the excellent content that you all have access to on May 1st, we're going to start the day off with a webinar from the Code Enforcement Committee, looking at code processes at work, five stories from the front lines, following five stories about various aspects of code enforcement through the different divisions that are going to investigate and prosecute the code violations. They're going to describe the ordinances and statutes at work, what the process is, how the issue was addressed, and where the property is now, to give you that sort of holistic view of how something is brought to the attention of code enforcement and how it's resolved. Because that's a process where a lot of people have questions about timeline, what's actually happening. It is an administrative process, so it can seem a little confusing to others. So it's going to shed light on what that process is like and help you in your neighborhood get a sense of what tools are out there to help you through code enforcement.
So on that, you know, I'd like to mention too that for those who have not participated in a summit before, mm-hmm. or nor have perhaps been to these workshops, they're very, and even though they're going to be virtual, they're very hands-on, right? Yes. In other words, these are your real-time tools that you can use right now, mm-hmm. as you're addressing issues of blight in your own neighborhood and issues of code enforcement and all that in your own neighborhood. So these are real-time tools that folks can use, you know, right away, right?
And that's, I think, something that I've been really proud of in coordinating the Black Elimination Steering Team, that the webinars we put on and the work that we focus on is sort of immediately actionable. If you're learning about how the code processes work, you can file a complaint through 311 the next day and understand more about how that process is going to work. With our community engagement committee, they're doing a presentation on waste collection problem solving. So if you've had an issue with why are there all these sofas or bulky items out, like the next day after seeing that, you'll understand how those items are disposed of and how you can prevent litter and dumping in your neighborhood once everyone knows what the schedule is. With the data tools we're going to be talking about, you can use those as soon as you get signed up for an account, which will probably be the next day. So it's some things that are easy to use, immediately able to use, and work that's really going to get the tools that you need into your hands quickly.
These sessions, of course, originally were going to be in person.
Yes. The
summit itself was going to be, let's talk about that for a second. Traditionally, you know, you said biannually, so every 18 months, the summit conferences. This was originally going to be at Northside High School, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And it's not to say that we may not visit Northside High School at some point, but obviously due to the pandemic, we could not convene at Northside High School. So backing up for a second, let's talk about the kind of the decision-making process for Northside, you know, arriving at Northside High School, one. But secondly, the importance of place, you know, importance of place in having these summits.
So I come from an urban planning background, so my undergraduate and master's degrees are in from Cornell University, go Big Red, woo. and so you talk a lot about placemaking as part of community planning and how important it is to not just have buildings and businesses, but a sense of place, a sense of community. And what I found so far in my career is that even more about as equally with placemaking is being able to identify the places that exist and places that don't need to be made, those places of strength, of meaning to a community. And that's how we approach picking a venue for the Memphis Neighborhood Preservation Summit. It's going to be a place that's related to the work we do in fighting property blight. It's going to be a space that's going to be somewhere that's meaningful to the community, ideally. So in the past, we've had it at a couple of different locations. We've had it at Claiborne Temple, which should be reopened, well, was planned to reopen soon. It was being renovated as a new community space. We had it at the Neighborhood Christian Center in 2018. And so when you're planning an event of this size, a summit, a convening, a conference, there's places that are easy to schedule it at. If you want to have this in a hotel or a convention space, that's pretty simple to do. It's just like, oh, okay, we'll just call Hilton or the Peabody or whoever and just, you know, sign on the dotted line, give them the money, and here we go. And that's sort of the easy way to do it. You're not really getting a sense of the work we do or the work that anyone is involved in. If you're here to talk about property blight and how to improve spaces, you want it to be in a place that's central to that fight. So we looked at a couple of different venues about what places we could use. We talked about going back to Neighborhood Christian Center, and they were a great partner at the last summit. We just wanted to do something different and change it up every year so that different neighborhoods get to participate, different spaces get activated. So it's looking at sort of if there were any other, you know, vacant or recently redone spaces we could look at. And our planning committee said, well, have we looked at doing what we looked at Northside High School? And I'd never been. I'm not from Memphis. I was just sort of a building that I passed by a couple times, but I got the opportunity to walk through the building. And I went in with sort of my own ideas about, oh, this is going to be really difficult to do. It's a vacant space. It's been shuttered. I wonder what it's like. But you go in there and it's just, oh, this is a place you can feel the energy in here. Like there used to be students down the hall. There's all this space in here. There's all this space. The auditorium was huge. You could fit so many people in there and the stage was perfect. It was like such an interesting space to be in, to where after I saw it, it was a much clearer in my head of this is the space we have to make it work. And so we were working hard trying to figure out how to do that. having some people come in to, you know, clean it up, get everything ready to go, so it'd be welcoming and accessible for everyone to go and be in for the summit. But unfortunately, with all the different sort of social distancing and quarantine measures we've had to participate in because of the COVID-19 epidemic, it didn't really make sense, or nor was it safe to have around 200 people in a building walking shoulder to shoulder with each other and eating in the same room. So we have moved to a virtual summit for May 1st, but something that we're hoping to do later in the year is use the space for the award ceremony part of the summit, which, many of you are going, what's the awards presentation part?
Yeah.
Each year, the summit has a morning portion, which is where there are the workshops, and an afternoon session where there is a lunch and awards program. And the awards celebrate people and spaces that have been doing really great work in improving neighborhoods and fighting blight in their communities. We have a number of awards that people could have been nominated for, and there are some awards that are just selected by the president of our board, by the law school, awards that are just sort of appointed. So there's the Leadership Impact Award, there's Grassroots Leader of the Year, we have Residential Property of the Year, there's Commercial Property of the Year, and then this year we had the Neighborhood Achievement Awards, which were highlighting neighborhoods that had done a lot of work in property blight in their community. And then on the appointed side, there was the Chairman's Award, the President's Award, and then Law Student of the Year. I'd give it to all of them because all the students, I think, in the Neighborhood Preservation Clinic in particular are doing really great work, but it's probably why I don't get to pick that.
I believe
that portion is going to happen later in the year. We'll come together and have a reception and then a ceremony honoring those who won awards rather than just sort of sending them something in the mail, because that's not as special as they deserve for all the hard work they've been.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, that part there, you know, the summit itself is such value.
Mm-hmm.
Workshops are one, but the obviously, and we're going to explore those in more detail, dive in a little bit more detail in a moment. But the awards are, you know, really, this is hard work. On a neighborhood level, whether it be, you know, residential properties, commercial properties, neighborhoods,
mm-hmm.
The grassroots efforts, this is hard work. This is, you know, backbreaking, dirty work at times. And, you know, it's really something to be able to turn it around and honor these folks mm-hmm. who have really done this hard work. And are doing it not for the personal attention. They're doing it because they care about the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
They care about the properties that they're working on. It's just really, really just such a great way to honor the hard work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it can be really easy to just look at something and say, that's not my property, it's not my problem, I'll just focus on my house. But for the number of people who were nominated who had clearly thought otherwise and said, no, that's not my property, but this is my neighborhood and I think we all deserve better, so we're going to work on this as a group, and that have organized their communities and put in countless hours, people that are they say they're retired, but I think they put in as many hours as I do full-time working on property. So it's
right.
The number of people just in the community doing this work is something that I think really just needs to be highlighted. And any opportunity we have to give the Shining Stars an award and some acknowledgement of the hard work they've been putting in is absolutely worth it. And so hopefully
yeah.
time, whenever that award ceremony is, hope they have a great time.
Yeah, and I wanted to give, you know, viewers and listeners a sense too, that in past years, for example, like, in the 2018 winners, Leadership Impact Award went to Steve Lockwood, Grassroots Leader of the Year, Brittany Thornton,
mm-hmm.
Residential Property of the Year up in Binghamton, 261 North Merton, Commercial Property of the Year, Highland Strip, Low Properties, mm-hmm. Lifetime Achievement, Judge Potter. So I could keep going on, but, you know, we're really honoring, you know, the summit really honors folks that not only, like we said, have done the hard work, but also have spent, you know, a good part of their career in this work, which is hugely important.
Yes.
Revisiting Northside High School for a second. And mm-hmm. I, you know, you've mentioned the importance of place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that is such a great way to physically display the work of Neighborhood Preservation Inc. by going into a place like this. Claiborne Temple, I have to tell you, I'm kind of jealous. I wish I had been part of that one.
That was before my time in Memphis, but it looked to be like a really, really impactful event, just because that space is just so amazing. And I can't wait to get back in there and see how they really renovated it and what they did.
Yeah, I've been, you know, I've had the honor to have been in there quite a few times now. We've done a couple of the stories on Claiborne. We did a couple of stories last year. And I've seen the photos from the summit. I guess it would have been
2016, somewhere early 2017. I get the every 18 months calendar gets a little odd as you go backwards, but sometime in there, yeah.
Right, yeah. But yeah, so going back to, you know, Northside High School, like you were mentioning, is really quite a space.
It's massive. It is a huge space. So if you have never been in, it's sort of like a huge sort of square. There's a central courtyard and then these classroom corridors around it. So you're just walking around and there's so many classrooms and a lot of the spaces are just kind of like, oh, there's chalk or like, you know, a remnant of some homework assignment on the board, chairs around. Some lockers were not well cleaned out. Hopefully did not need the workbooks they left behind.
Yeah.
And then there's these really huge, big spaces. Like they have a gym in there that's just absolutely huge. There's this great auditorium space. I think they can fit over 1,000 people in there. They have the seats to, it's like a dual level. It's like a full, you know, theater in there. It's amazing what they have, the amount of space they have. And so as a location, the way it would just, and it hopefully will continue to allow us to connect with the community of Northside alumni and with the work being done in the area by Klondike, Smoky City, CDC, is something that was important to us and is still important to us. And hopefully something that we can really get people to participate in the award ceremony later in the year. I also do want to touch in that it's a site that people are interested in sort of repurposing and seeing what that space can be used for. Again, I think Studio Gang did a really interesting report about how that's the Northside High School and other school buildings in the area could be repurposed as sort of community arts or job incubators and how the spaces could be used to serve a broader need, how it can include housing space and more other commercial space to meet neighborhood retail needs and how much potential there really is with that much square footage. You could be looking at like a smaller crosstown just in the Klondike, Smoky City neighborhoods.
That's something that's also, you know, the article that we published, a couple months ago, there was already feedback from folks who said, oh, I attended Northside High School. This is what I would like to see happen with the space, you know, which is another reason to have the summit there is to, you know, bring people in, allow them to experience the space and start thinking about, you know, what could be done to revitalize the space, you know, to bring it back to life. You know, Northside, you know, it feels, it's interesting because it felt, it's been empty for, I think, 3 years, maybe 4 years. It's just quite a space. I'll leave it at that. And throughout this program, the video here, viewers can see some images from the our walkthrough from a couple months ago. So obviously, you know, with this summit, it was had to be moved from the high school itself to a virtual environment. So let's go back, revisit the workshops for a second. So we talked about the four, we mentioned the four workshops.
So I did tell you about the first two that we're doing of the day with the Code Enforcement Committee and Community Engagement, who again are looking at code enforcement processes, sort of storytelling through how those problems were resolved. And then also community engagement is talking about waste collection problem solving with Division of Solid Waste, talking about a guide to dealing with bulky item disposal and how to prevent litter and dumping, because that's often a common issue where someone will put something out and it won't get picked up immediately because they set it out on the wrong day or there was just some cross wires on how it's supposed to get picked up. And then it just sort of just becomes like a, oh, well, they have that thing dumped there, so I'll just dump more, which leads to an issue where you have basically enough stuff to fill a dumpster that's just sitting out on the curb, and that's not really what anyone wants to see when they come home to their neighborhood. So addressing what the process is, sharing information with citizens, and doing a walkthrough on how you can use some of the other tools they have to better facilitate that pickup. And then those are the two morning sessions. So the sessions are going to be an hour and a half long to give them plenty of time to present and everyone plenty of time to ask as many questions as they want to have. And in the afternoon, we're going to have our data committee and our reclaim and reuse committee do their presentations. So the data committee is going to do an overview of existing data tools and how they can use them. First, by looking at the current iteration of the Memphis Property Hub. If you are using the Memphis Property Hub on the Policy Map platform, amazing, great. It's switched platforms. They're going to talk about the new one and how you can get comfortable on the different sort of mechanics of interfacing with that system. They're also going to talk about how Habitat for Humanity has used data and how they do their blight assessments and how they do their analysis. And you're also going to have Marlon Foster from Knowledge Quest talking about how his neighborhood, how their Summer Design Studio surveyed their whole neighborhood and how they use data in their work. So a couple of different perspectives on how you can access data, how organizations access data, how community groups have accessed and used data in their own work. And the final session of the day is going to be the Reclaim and Reuse Committee talking about their top 20. So over the past year, several months, they've been using a sort of citizen advocacy approach to the top 20 worst vacant abandoned apartment complex in Memphis. Talking about the challenges that those properties present, the complicated path for how they were resolved, and sort of how the properties have their own unique set of circumstances, where one can be an issue where it's an out-of-town owner that they can't contact for any reason. In some cases, it might be an owner that's trying to sell the property, different tax issues, site issues, maintenance issues, all that goes into those. They're going to highlight three of the properties that they addressed over the past year and the specific approaches needed for each one. So there's going to be a lot of information shared, but you can, if you want to, go to all four of them. They are free and open to the public. Just register at the links. You'll be able to go through them all. We also gave you 15 minutes in between each one in the morning and afternoon, and then you also get a good lunch break so you don't have to sit down all day, because that's not good for any of us. Exercise if you can.
Yep. Yeah. Well, yeah, especially now, right? Anyone interested can go. There's a few places we can go, actually. You can visit, let's see.
NPIMemphis.org is one. You can go to the Blight Elimination Steering Team website, which is memphisfightsblight.com. And then you can just go on our drop-down menu to Summit Webinar Registration, and that will have a copy of the agenda and the registration links to sign up for each one there. If you want to go directly to the links, they're through Zoom URL, so zmurl.com/, and then the committee name that this webinar is for. So it's zoomurl.com/data/community-engagement/code-enforcement/reclaim-and-reuse would be how you access the links directly. I think Mark is going to have those displayed as well, so you'll be able to access them.
Right, right. And on storyboardmemphis.org, we also have an events page for the upcoming summit workshops. And then there's, of course, links to register from there. Yeah. So storyboardmemphis.org, you can find under a few places too, under community and community events. And there's also a page dedicated specifically to Neighborhood Preservation Inc., right?
Awesome.
Good. Yeah.
And so I also do want to point out that we're going to leave registration open for a while just to make sure people can join in and access it. And there's no need to worry about us running out of space, because we have quite a high ceiling for registrants. We can have, I think, up to 400 people at each session, wow, which would be amazing if we could hit that. But, you know, just there's plenty of room for you. We have a good amount of people signed up for each one now. But yeah, please do sign up. We're going to be recording them and trying to get the recordings and get them to people however we can. So if you have technical issues on the day of, you'll still be able to access it after the fact. I would, however, recommend you try and use Zoom, at least test it beforehand just to make sure that it's compatible, whether you're going to call in or use a laptop or some other tablet, smartphone device to access it, just to, you know, get a little bit comfortable with it beforehand if you can.
Right, right. Good.
Although yeah. I think most of us are, a lot of people are getting a lot more proficient in Zoom as we move into what is, for me, week 6 of working at home.
Is it week six already? Yeah.
It's week six. I keep a tally so that on Fridays, I just do a woo, we did one. Just a week at a time.
Yeah, yeah. I know I wrote something on Friday about the fact that you lose track of what day it is because, you know, you're always at home, right?
And it's like, what are we doing? Yeah. Actually, one thing I found really helpful with working from home is that since I have my office and living room spaces are combined, I have to physically move the furniture on the weekends so I know not to open the desk. So if there's more floor space, I know it's like, okay, you can relax. And if there's less floor space, it's no, focus on the work.
Yeah.
I have a friend who's walking out of the front door of their apartment and back in for their commute each morning and afternoon.
Oh, wow.
It says, okay, I leave and I come back and work, and I leave and I come back and I'm home. So it's the same space, but basically applying the same object permanence that cats have to going to work and coming to relaxation time.
That's good. That's really good. I hadn't even thought about something like that.
There's going to be so many interesting books at the end of this about how we perceive space.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I have a great time on that dissertation, man.
Whew. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, Amani Jasper, a program manager for Neighborhood Preservation, Inc. Thank you for sitting down with us and walking us through the upcoming virtual summit. We're going to look forward to a lot more information on the physical awards presentation, sometime later in the year, a date to be determined by social distancing guidelines.
Yeah, as soon as it is safe and healthy for us all to be in the same room together, shaking hands and laughing and eating next to each other, we will do so, but not before then. And it's going to be great when we can all get together again.
Exactly. Okay. Well, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. And as always, I want to thank WYPL FM 89.3, Vance Durbin, Stephen Ussery, and the Memphis Public Libraries for their ongoing support. You've been listening to and watching Storyboard 30 for FM 89.3 and for Storyboard's Vimeo channel.